In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Two little boys, age 8 and 10. Spoiled, rotten little brats. Mom and Dad try everything. Telling, asking, pleading, negotiation, bribing, immediate corrective behaviors. Nothing works. The mother decides that their old priest, who's at least 75, could correct these children. So she sends them to see the priest. They're waiting in his lobby, just beside his personal coffee machine, refrigerator filled with a variety of pop. The little boy comes in. The 8-year-old sits in front of the priest, and the priest pulls up a chair real close, and he says to the little boy, "Do you know where God is?" Pulls the chair closer. "Do you know where God is?" Third time, real close, just to his nose. "Do you know where God is?" "Get out. Send your brother in." He gets out of that chair, runs as fast as he can, slides out the door, slams it behind him, and stands in front of his brother. The older brother said, "What's wrong? What did he do?" And the little brother says, "God's missing and they're blaming us." How we perceive the world changes everything. We don't see the world as it is. We often see the world as we think it is, as we believe it is. And that can cause tremendous pain. We have expectations of how the world should treat us. I'll never forget the day I completed my doctoral degree and the vice president of Ashland Seminary brought me into his office, and they had just done all the handshaking and how impressive I was. And he sat me down and he pulled his chair up real close. And he says, "Now that you got a title, remember, nobody cares." If you love them, if you try to respect them, if you care for them, they will make the decision. The people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Relativism is shattering some of those perceptions. Now, I've got my own definition, and my own is pretty weak, but here it is. Nothing is for sure everywhere all the time. That's the best I can do. I heard you giggling. Does that all the time. You know, he thinks all his life experience, wisdom, and training actually gives him a right to say something. The doctrine of relativism, by the dictionary, I do use books. The doctrine that knowledge, truth, and morality exists in relation to the culture, society, or historical context and are not absolute. Let that sink for a minute. Furthermore, it's the belief that there is no absolute truth, only the truths of that particular individual or culture happen to believe. And if you believe in relativism, you think different people can have different views about what's moral and ethical. So that means that you can have an opinion and I can have an opinion and we can disagree and still love each other? Not everywhere. Not all the time. Have you been watching the news? What does it mean to have an open heart and an open mind? I love the sequence music this morning. What does it mean to be able to see things from different perspectives? It means to begin a healing inside of you to know this. No matter what your relationship with your parents was, they probably did the very best with what they had. Haven't heard that from somebody my age in a while, have you? When I research my parents, not what they told me, but what really happened, I suddenly come to the insight that they actually gave the very best they ever had. I remember a friend of mine who's a psychologist once said to me, after I described my father, he said, you seem to build this tower of what he should be. You are aware he's human, right? Let me let that sink in. To know that the other people in our life are simply human, that does not excuse abusive behavior. But it sure helps us understand some of the context of our childhood. I know that some of the very best of who I am comes from my parents. And some of the worst of who I am comes from my parents. I know that I have a choice of how I interpret that and who I surround myself in now. I'll never understand people that say, I have to go see this person or that person, or I have to share dinner with this person or that person, because if they're angry with me or they're upset with me, life will become difficult. Well, then don't expose yourself in the first place. I mean, you're intelligent, insightful people. You spend the most time with those that bless you, affirm you, encourage you, and support you, and the least time with those who are difficult to be with. I'm not suggesting that you have them locked up. I'm just saying, don't immerse yourself in yuck. Because if you immerse yourself in yuck and muck, you're stuck. Now, I'm sorry that wasn't really smart. That's just a Steve-ism. But if you immerse yourself in muck and yuck, you're stuck. You know what? That you need to take that home. That needs to be part of your life, your prayer life. God, I need to pray about the muck and the yuck because I'm stuck. And allow him to heal you as he removes you from those kinds of situations. You know, some of us are so preoccupied with getting to heaven. Now, my insurance agent, he's excited about this. Morning, Scott. Every time he sits down and works out an insurance policy, he hopes I'm just a little more scared about death. Price goes up. Thank God he's my best friend in that area of my life. And did you notice how I said that? My best friend in that area of my life. That means I trust him with those issues implicitly. Never done me wrong. Because his goal in his business is to take care of her. Do you get it? It's really not about me. And I deliberately and intentionally surround myself and people like that. Some of you met Tia and Tommy on Friday evening, and you discovered that those are two of the people that I spend as much time with as I can. Do you know why? Because they glow. You feel it. You see it. You experience, and it's authentic. It doesn't matter if you're with them first thing in the morning or last thing at night. You can tell they're real. They believe in things that are real and relevant and revitalizing, and that's where they focus their time and their energy. Writer Dallas Willard put it this way: the gospel is less about how to get into the kingdom of heaven after you die, and more about how to live in the kingdom of heaven before you die. In other words, pull it in now. What are the kingdom principles of love and acceptance, forgiveness and clemency, social justice? What are the principles of Christ that we can live in our lives now? You will discover that it provides profound healing when you make that decision. Did you know you really can't make a change? That the sequence hymn talked about, unless you decide that this way is a dead end and that way is a new beginning. What are the new beginnings that we need in our marriages, in our relationship with our children, in our jobs, and in our retirement? I'm always fascinated by the number of people who say they're busier now than when they were working full time. The point is, you want to get up. You want to get going because you enjoy the choices that you have more every day. The fault, if there's any, is when we wait too long. I remember that when my parents needed to tell Joyce and I that Mom was sick, they took us on a cruise so that we would get a couple weeks together before they shared the information, only it was quite obvious quite quickly that Mom's health was sliding very, very fast. And so the next time we heard that they were traveling, they went alone and they went to Rome. They actually had a dinner booked in the presence of His Holiness. And they never got there. Mom came off the ship, had an attack, collapsed, landed on the great stairway off the ship. Do you know those? On her face. So she got to see the medical system of that country instead. Don't wait for tomorrow. The exciting and blessings that are afforded for you today. Too often, we wait to celebrate our life until it's almost over. Last thought. This Old Testament lesson from Isaiah was a warning, and it went a little bit like this. If you mess up and you forget to fess up, you're going to get messed up. It was about judgment. But that's not where the Bible ended. So many people believe the Bible ends with the Old Testament, rules and regulations. The Psalms are some of my favorites, because if you've never really worked with the Psalms, you need to know that the Psalms are the prayers of the people. That's what they were written for in ancient Jerusalem and Judah. They were the prayers of the people, and the prayers of the people went like this: God, I am really ticked. This is what I'm angry about. This is what I'm hurt about. This is what I'm furious about. This is what I'm outrageously beyond furious about. But I know you're God, and you can make it right. And you can change it. Now you got to know when the Psalms are done. Of course the New Testament's coming. The promise of God to send Jesus Christ. And there it is in the New Testament. As Paul struggles with relativism. How do you include everybody all the time no matter what? What's right? What's wrong? What's right and what's wrong is what the Holy Spirit tells you. Make sure it's the right voice. What does the Holy Spirit speak to you when you study Scripture, when you attend worship, when you sing the hymns? What is the Holy Spirit telling you that is right and honorable and good? You see, if you haven't heard this from me before, it goes a little like this. When you and I were kids, we were taught that the world was good. It was perfect. like the shape of the earth, like a wedding ring, perfectly round. And it would always treat you right if you treated it right. Only those who are wearing wedding rings, you might want to check them out. That's okay. There's some dents. There's some scratches. That piece needs surgery. That's normal. That's normal, healthy marriage. And sometimes it doesn't go that way. When you spend time with your kids, even if they're little kids or if they're big kids, you discover as you watch them ever so closely that they are a piece of you. And some of it's really good. Round and perfect. And other parts of the relationship has dents and bruises. And you can change that. The sequence hymn today talked about changing our spirit, renewing relationships. Timing's important, but each and every one of us are called to live beyond relativism and decide that this is the day that you are going to choose healing. You're going to move from this direction to this direction in some tiny piece of your life, and today is the day that you're going to renew your commitment. Commitment to your partner, commitment to your children, commitment to the priorities in your life, and no matter what negative voices come to you, no matter what yuck or muck, get unstuck. And it's not about you and your neighbor. It's about what's going on inside of you. And it's the decision you make to walk with Christ in some little part of your life today. You know, sometimes it helps to take an action. And so during communion today, I'm going to leave Brother Mark in the sanctuary, because if you haven't noticed, he does it better than I do. It's some Dominican, Republican, some, what do you call it? Benedictine. There it is. I knew it had a nictin. And he does it better. And you know, I'm just going to stand over there with some oil. And if there's just something you need healed, physical, emotional, psychological, or spiritual, something, I want you to wander over, and I'm just going to say a little prayer with you and anoint you. And that'll be your signal of new beginning. There are people in this room waiting for doctor's reports. There are people struggling with relationships. There are people who are just wiped out, exhausted, giving it everything they got, and need a fresh start. Decide that's today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.